We're going to work through worksheet number one for chapter six. In the face-to-face class, we do these together. Obviously, we can't do that in the online class, but if you contact me, I'd be happy to work with you through these. What I hope you do is not jump right to the answer key. Or but if you do, what am I going to do, right? Let's take a look at number one. The price of We Got Burnt and How is currently $32 per share. Their earnings per share, EPS, is $2.25 this year. And the five-year average price-to-earnings ratio is 18. So if WBH's earnings per share are expected to grow at 5% next year, what would you expect their price to be next year? Well, this is the price ratio, the price-to-earnings ratio model that we discussed in Chapter 6. And how do we do this? We take the historical PE ratio going back 5 years. Where do we get that? We look it up on ValueLine, or we compute it. And we multiply that by what we believe next year's earnings per share will be. Well, how do we get that? We take the current year earnings per share and multiply them times 1 plus the expected growth rate. So it's harder to describe than it is to do. You plug in the numbers. The historical PE ratio is 18. The current earnings per share are $2.25. And the growth rate is expected to be 5%. So 1 plus 5% is 1.05. Do you understand? I hope so. If you don't, contact me. 1.05, because 5% is 0.05. 1 is 100% plus 0.05, 1.05. So 18 times $2.25 times 1.05 gives us approximately $42.53. So if the average PE stays the same, and the earnings do grow at 5%, we expect the price to go up to $42.50. Is it a guarantee? No. As we saw in the presentation, it's often wildly off the mark, especially if the PE ratio variance, the standard deviation of that average, is quite wide. Because you don't know. Maybe next year the PE goes way up. Maybe it goes way down. Plus, what happens if they don't grow their earnings by 5%? You see how hard it is to predict the future? Indeed. All right, number two and three are basically the same thing. We Got Burnt and How's cash flow per share, except instead of using price to earnings ratio, we're going to use price to cash flow per share. Their current cash flow per share is $2.80. The five-year average price to cash flow per share ratio is 14. If we expect their cash flow per share to grow by 6% next year, what would you expect their price to be next year? Well, take the historical P, price to cash flow ratio, P/CF, price divided by cash flow, times the projected cash flow per share, which we are computing as the current cash flow per share, plus 1 plus the cash flow per share growth rate, or what we expect it to be next year. And the current cash flow per share is $2.80, more than the earnings. Why? Because, as we discussed in the presentation, we'll discuss later on, earnings per share and cash flow per share are often different, mostly because of depreciation, but the accountants will tell you that there are many other ways it can be different. And we multiply that $2.80 times 1 plus 6%, 1.06. So plugging in the numbers is the easiest part of the problem, isn't it? Right? Trying to understand the problem is like, what am I doing? But once you start plugging the numbers, you go, well, this is easy. 14 times $2.80 times 1.06 gives us approximately $41.55. Again, an optimistic viewpoint for next year's price because it's selling for $32. So the model is saying, hey, it's going to be worth a lot more next year. Number three, basically the same thing, but instead of price to cash flow or price to earnings, we're using price to sales. And the sales are $3.20. Their average price to sales ratio is 13. If we expect their sales per share to grow by 8%, what would we expect their price to be next year? Well, we do the exact same thing. Plug in the numbers. 13 times the current sales per share, SPS, times 1 plus the sales per share growth rate, which is 8%, 1.08. 1 plus 8%, 1.08. 13 times $3.20 times $1.08, and we get $44.93, even more optimistic than the previous two. So do these enough times, and you'll say the price ratios are very easy and also not really worth a whole lot. Now we turn our attention to the dividend discount models, my favorites. And the first one is Indiana Electric Company. Hey, what did we say in the presentation? What kind of companies have dividends that don't grow, that tend to be very constant? No growth, zero growth. Right, exactly. So if you see a utility, Indiana Electric Company pays $1.25 per year in dividends, has done so for many years, and we expect it to continue doing so well into the future. Zero growth. Our expected rate of return is 6%, how much would we be willing to pay for the stock? So that's our first question. And I asked at the very end, what dividend discount model do you use? Well, I already tipped my hand. If there's no growth, you use the zero growth model, no growth of dividends. And if the stock were selling for $20, would we consider it a good investment? So the formula is very simple. You take the annual dividends and divide it by the required rate of return. Okay, we're getting $1.25 per year in dividends. Divide that by 6%, our required rate of return, 0.06, and we get $20, approximately 83 cents, 20.83. It's selling for $20. We believe it is worth $20.83 to us because we require a 6% rate of return. So we would consider this a good investment. Since we can buy a stock that we think is worth $20.83 for only $20. Make sense? No pun intended. Okay, so make sure you go over this again. Now, number five, turn the page. Pritchard's Pretty Good Pretzels is paying $0.85 per year in dividends. Their dividend growth rate has been very constant. Dividend growth rate, constant growth rate, yeah, at 4%. Our expected rate of return is 9%. What price would we consider Pritchard's to be a good investment? Which dividend discount model did you use? In the exact same order we covered them in the presentation, and the exact same order that they're on the worksheet and on the assignment sheet and maybe on the exam. We use the constant perpetual growth model because they're growing their dividends at a constant rate. And if you take a look at the formula on the formula sheet or in the presentation, you'll see it's the annual dividends times 1 plus the growth rate of the dividends divided by the required rate of return minus the constant dividend growth rate. So it's really the previous model with these two terms added to take advantage of the fact that they are growing the dividends. They're not keeping the dividends at zero growth. They're growing them, and they're growing them at a constant rate. Now, if you do the bonus assignment, you're going to calculate that growth rate, and you'll find that it's not always constant. Sometimes companies raise their dividend more in 1 year than they do, but you want to come up with a average over the last 5 years or so, 10 years, if it's a company that's been around a long time. And so plugging in the numbers, we have the annual dividends at 85 cents times 1 plus the constant growth rate, 1 plus 4%, 1.04, divided by the required rate of return, 9%, minus the growth rate of 4% of the dividends. And so 85 cents times 1.04 is 88.4, and you can, you know, you can figure what that is. That's, you know, 88.5 cents. Divided by 9% minus 4% is 5%, 0.05. So we believe the stock should be worth 8.884 divided by 0.05, or $17.68. Somewhere around there, indeed. And that's exactly what it's worth. Excellent. Okay. So, now, continuing. Makes sense? Make sure you can do that, because that one, that's a big one. That's an important one. Love that constant perpetual growth model for the dividends. Now, what about Jimba Jamba Jamba Juice? Who are they? That's a brilliant company that sells you 800 calories of sugar. Very good for your adrenal glands and pancreas, folks. And they're currently selling for $56 per share. The dividends for the next 3 years are expected to be, don't sue us, please, expected to be $1.80 for 2015, $2 for 2016, and $2.25 for 2017. Where do we get that? Well, you know, we've seen them grow the dividends, or the value line tells, whatever, you know, it tells us that that's what they think is going to happen to the dividends. We forecast the price per share to be approximately $75 at the end of 2017. Again, we looked it up on ValueLine. ValueLine says, they might be $75. If we desire a rate of return of 10% using the discounted cash flow model, would we consider this a good investment? And so what we have to take a look at is the discounted cash flow model. And as you saw in the presentation, it really makes sense to make it look like a spreadsheet, or even use the spreadsheet. You don't even have to do it on a piece of paper. Use the spreadsheet. It's up to you. So what I do is I construct a little spreadsheet with the years, 2015, 2016, 2017. And then next to that are the cash flows. In 2015, we expect $1.80 of dividends. In 2016, $2, and in 2017, $2.25, but we also expect the price to be $75 at the end of 2017. So we can think of that $75 as a future cash flow. So you take the $2.25 plus the $75, and that means we believe we're going to get a future cash flow of $77.25. Make sense? No pun intended. So the cash flows are $1.80, $2, and $77.25. Now what we need to do is discount them. That's the verb we use, but folks, that's what we say. We say we're going to discount those future cash flows. And we do that with the present value multipliers. In our case, our desired rate of return is 10%. So we put the present value multipliers for 10%. Go to the Chapter 6. Website, get the, if you haven't printed it out, you need to print it out. I like to have it at my disposal. I give it to my students. 0.909 for year number one, 2015. 0.826 for 2016. 0.751 for 2017. Did I say that right? 0.909, 2015. 0.826, 2016. 0.751 for 2017. And we're called the present value, they're called the present value multipliers because we're going to multiply them times the future cash flows. And if you multiply $1.80 times 0.909, you get 1.6362. And you don't have to use all those digits, it's up to you. If you have a calculator, you can just use, just write the first three or four digits, but then you can use the plus, the memory plus button. It's kind of cute, you know. Clear out the memory, then hit the memory plus button, and the calculator will remember that. And then what you do is you multiply for year number two, for 2016. $2 times 0.826, 1.652, and then hit the memory plus. Cute. And then the last year, 2017, $77.25 times 0.751, or $58.0148. Memory Plus, or go ahead, retype them all in, all three numbers, sum them up, sum those three discounted cash flows, and you get $61.30, approximately. The market price is $56. So, folks, we believe this is a good investment for us. Why? Because we think the present value of the future cash flows from this stock is worth to us $61.30. But the market is pricing it at $56. So we think it's a good deal. Is it a guarantee? No, it's not a guarantee. It's just tilting the odds in our favor. And, of course, we're going to throw away the numbers and then decide later on, do we really want to buy Jimba Jamba Jumba Juice? Because they sell 800 calories of sugar to young folks who want to destroy their pancreas. This is. I'm sorry. I apologize. I can't help myself. Anyway, so do it over again, all right? And then run it for 12% or run it for 8% and see what happens. And you understand why there are markets in the first place. Some people want high rates of return. Some people are happy with lower rates of return. So to them, the numbers mean different things. The valuations are different. Yeah. 7. Now, the price of biotechnology, nanotechnology, what kind of company is that? Well, yeah, they're doing something that nobody understands. In fact, in San Diego, there's a company called Nanotech. This was, I don't know, about 5 or 6 years ago. And nanotechnology started making into the news. And their stock started going up. And people said, what's going on? The company said, we don't know. We're still doing what we were doing. They figured that people were just looking for something that had nanotechnology in the name and buying it. Anyway, here it is. Biotechnology, nanotechnology, $15 a share. The company pays no dividends. Yeah, because it's a growth company that's reinvesting, and sometimes they don't even have any earnings. We expect the price 3 years from now to be $35 per share. If our desired rate of return is 12%, would this be a good buy for us? Well, what we have to ask ourselves is, what is the only model that we can use with this information? How will we use it? Well, the company is probably not making any money yet. It's probably losing money. It's not paying any dividends. It's got this product that they're hoping to get out the door, and it's going to change the whole world, and who knows. So we put a price of $35 for 3 years from now. We don't know what it's really going to be. But with no dividends, we can still use the discounted cash flow model, the dividends and earnings model. They go by the same names. And we know that we're not getting anything from the dividend, so that's zero, right? Nothing from the dividend, zero. But we can use the expected price of the stock in 3 years and then multiply it times the present value multiplier for 12% for 3 years. So go across the 12% down 3 years. You see that's 0.712. You multiply $35 times 0.712, and you find that we believe the stock is worth $24.92. So we believe it's worth about $25 today to us. It's selling for $15. So yeah, according to the model, this is a good investment. But what can we say? We can now safely say that we better have our eyes wide open, because there's a chance that this thing in 3 years is going to be $50 or $500, and there's another chance, probably a lot larger, that it's going to be 50 cents. Exactly. So now, dear students, you should be able to, just by looking at the numbers, without knowing anything else, and then of course you've got to do a whole lot more research, you should be able to identify the types of companies that are going to have a much better chance of surviving and paying you a decent rate of return, and the other types of companies that, sure, maybe could make you very, very wealthy, but more likely you're going to just be yet another pfft that turns into nothing. And I'm not saying you shouldn't invest in any of those. That's not the point. The point is so that you have your eyes wide open. Because one of these companies, folks, and this is when you read Peter Lynch's book, One Up on Wall Street, These are the kind of companies you want to follow very closely for signs of what he called a 10-bagger. You know, that $15 becomes $150. Those are the kind of companies that he stalked. Well, he was pretty good at it, folks. Most people aren't. So the moral of the story is, you will have your eyes open when you buy a really risky company. Okay? Go back and do these over again. Do worksheet number 2, then do the assignment, and do the ones in the presentation. Because if there's one thing you're going to learn before you leave this course, it's how to do the constant perpetual growth model and the discounted cash flow model, a.k.a. dividends and earnings model. Is that a deal? Okay.